Hail cheaters. Welcome to the Always Cheating Podcast. My name is Josh L. I'm here with Brandon K. Brandon K., how are you?
Last name redacted. We'll reveal why.
Exactly.
I've been on the run this international break.
I should have just said, Josh X and Brandon X. You know, really kept it totally wide open.
Yeah, totally. We're going for the formerly known as Twitter sort of sponsorship. good. I'm glad to be talking with you. You know, sometimes international break pods, you kind of struggle for what do we talk about? It's like the next game week feels so far away, even though it's just a week away. But there has been a big announcement. Of course, the double game weeks for game week 34 have officially been.
I don't think you should say, of course, because I think it's a, it was kind of like a Saturday news dump, you know, the way that like sometimes like when the White House has bad news they want to share, they wait until 4:30 on Friday afternoon to share it. Yeah. I feel like that was like the double game week sort of were dropped secretly during the international break.
So, yeah, the Premier League and their endless pursuit to thwart or make it trickier for us. I mean, I'm supporting the Premier League. I'm wearing my Summer Series T-shirt, which you can check us out if you're listening on the podcast feed, of course. Go. Find us on YouTube where you can see what I'm wearing, of course.
That's the new name of the pod is going to be Always Cheating, what we wore.
And put this on with Always Cheating. Yeah, exactly. Cool. How are you, Josh? I mean, so this news of the double game weeks kind of reinvigorated you and your fantasy brain, because we've been locked in on March Madness and college basketball for like the last 4 days.
That's true. Although our beloved Michigan State Spartans are already out of it. So
we'll take the one win. It was a respectable showing. No one thought they'd beat UNC. So.
Exactly. Yeah. Nice, respectable showing. I think it was nice. It was actually nice. The international break was timed with the launch of March Madness, because it's already a lot of sports for me and my family. You know, not even me so much. I could probably watch and even 16 hours a day with really no problem. Like, I am such a sports junkie that would be fine. I'd watch almost anything, you know, as long as there were two sides, Brandon, you know, and something to be won, I would watch it.
So what about golf? Often referred to as a metaphor for fantasy, because it's just guys out there playing against themselves. Would you watch golf?
I'll even watch golf. Okay. Yeah. I won't watch Liv, because I have some like kind of moral issues with Liv. But, you know, but I would watch a PG. I'll watch the Valero Open or the Valspar or the.
What about?
They all have terrible sponsorships. We can't go down this road too much, because there's so much to discuss. Sure. But yes, I'll watch almost anything.
Welterweight boxing match.
I'd watch a welterweight boxing match. Boxing is actually probably one of my least favorite sports to watch. I don't really understand it either. And like, it feels like the best boxers are the ones who are defensive, right? So they're just constantly coming together, right? Sure. There's a lot of like clutching.
Free hugs, just not basically.
Yeah, exactly. You don't get those like the reason why Mike Tyson is still popular 35 years after he like, you know, like his career was over basically, is because he would like do what we thought boxing should be.
Sure, what they do in the Rocky movies.
Giant punches. Yeah, exactly. Giant punches to the face.
Outstanding. All right. So, speaking of punches to the face, back to fantasy.
So they announce, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 double game weeks. But all for game week 34, which is in late April. But because of when they announced that, it sort of allows us to fill in the rest of the puzzle as well in terms of the other fixtures and when we think they're going to slot in. The only real question, it comes down to Chelsea and Spurs, who are the two clubs that have two fixtures still to make up. And so what we suspect, and I know this is like a broken record, but I don't want to use his stuff without always giving him credit for it, because I think that Ben Crowland does a great job of compiling this stuff. And so, you know, credit to him for, you know, pulling together these charts that sort of, you know, break things down a little bit. And so we know that, we effectively know that who's going to play in game week 34 now, and then we have a pretty good sense of when Chelsea and Spurs are going to double, and that is going to be in game week 37 for sure. That's like an absolute lock, like 99%, and then most likely game week 36 as well, right? Yep. So it basically allows us to do some like really serious planning now, right? Like you and I are in a similar position. We both have wild cards and bench boosts left. We both used our free hits, unsuccessfully, like everybody else who free hit in 29. I think we have to say that, unfortunately. If I had literally just forgot to activate my free hit and just started Anthony Robinson, I would have been in a better place than I was as things turned out. But, you know, c'est la vie, right? You have to always be looking forward, not backwards, Brandon, right? Yes. And especially when it comes to fantasy. What's the point in lamenting missed opportunities? So we have basically the big decision point now for those of us who still have a wild card, which is true for both of us, is do you wild card in order to target the doubles that are coming up, right? The 34 doubles. Or do you wild card to, or do you kind of try to get to 34, try to basically field the best possible team using transfers, right? Because you have five transfer windows, right? Game week 30, 31, 32, 33, 34. There's five different weeks without any hits, right? Where you could build a team that is ready for 34, right? It's honestly quite a few weeks when you consider that you probably already have a number of these players in your squad already, right? Certainly like Arsenal in my case. They're kind of the only, I guess Bournemouth too.
Solanke is still hanging around a lot of squads. So now we have a reason to keep him.
Exactly. So we have, you know, there are some, there are a handful of players. It would not be, I don't think I could get to 11 necessarily. Yeah. And so, but, you know, and I don't want to like kind of do everything right off the bat here, but I think that the real focus of this pod is going to be about these doubles, because I think the strategy that you choose for how you want to play game weeks 34 and 37, right, is going to dictate what you do beginning as soon as this week. Right. Yep. And so it's really important, I think, to start to look ahead a little bit. And one thing I thought, and I you know, you asked me earlier if I was energized by the doubles. Yes. And I think I got there. You know, like there's a kind of moment when on Saturday when I saw the announcement and I was like, I don't even want to like go there yet, you know, because once you open that door, you know, you're going to think about it's a lot of time, a lot of energy. Yep. But then this afternoon, as I was getting ready for the pod and I started to look at it a little bit and think things through a little bit and start to think about my own strategy for how I want to target the doubles, it did get me sort of energized because I was like, okay, this, I think, you know, it's like, I think step A will work. I think step B will work. I started to sort of like really think things through. And I did, I did find it sort of energizing. And I think one thing that I really liked too was because they launched it on Saturday, the benefit from kind of my perspective, maybe the people listening to this pod too, is that I have not been inundated with strategy advice yet, right? Yes. Like I honestly don't know genuinely what the optimal strategy is for targeting these. Yep. So I have been coming up with my own thoughts and they haven't been sort of tinkered with by other opinions that I've sort of added to my head. Yes. Right. And sort of maybe and sometimes cluttered it up, I think. Right. Yeah. So, I think that, do you have any initial thoughts just on the doubles themselves, in terms of who plays, when they do, maybe what your kind of your early thoughts on what you want to do for your own squad are?
Yeah, I guess I find the game week 34 doubles immediately a little bit more intriguing, sheerly from a Liverpool perspective. And I think I felt like an outsider with Liverpool assets for the last couple of months, mostly because Salah was out for such a long time.
Yeah.
But looking, so you pinpointed Arsenal and Bournemouth also. And those I think are really the three teams that I'm interested in 34, Liverpool, Arsenal, Bournemouth. So my immediate feeling is I can put together a team that is going to work without a wild card. But the problem, going back to Liverpool, is Mo Salah, and I'm really kind of struggling to figure out how to move the pieces around in my squad to get Salah in. Really, we talked a little bit about this in our Patreon pod on Thursday night, of like all of our midfielders right now are working really well, from Saka and Foden and Son and Cole Palmer. Where does Salah fit in? So I think maybe punting on that and seeing if over the next 1, 2, maybe 3 game weeks, we understand which of those midfielders goes to make way for Salah. But prior to game week 34, it is Sheffield United at Anfield in game week 31. this is what's got me kind of thinking of maybe just saying, I'm playing a wild card, not for the double game weeks. I'm playing a wild card to get the best asset in Mo Salah as soon as I can. Because the way they're kind of split up between 34 and presumably 37 is they're kind of nice little digestible chunks. The teams that stick out are City, Spurs, and possibly Manchester United if they can put another run of form together, because they have two home fixtures against Arsenal and Newcastle. I'm feeling like I can get good squads together for both of these doubles without a wild card. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I think it's first thought is that people who save their free hit are an incredible spot right now when it comes to game week 37. Yeah. I think that it really would be awesome to have a free hit for 37 now. And I mean, it was just a gamble. I know I said I wasn't going to look backwards, but I think it didn't work out. Like, so be it, right? Like, there's a version of this free hit where we end up on 52 points apiece, right? And James Maddison gets a goal and an assist and whatever, you know, a handful of other things like go great. And we're sort of in a different spot than we are. You know, unfortunately, it went almost literally as bad as it possibly could, right? Like to a comical degree. And not just like, oh, we loaded up on Luton player, but like literally like every single team that played outside of Fulham, honestly, who we probably, underrated.
I said on this pod, Josh, that game week is going to come down to what version of Fulham shows up against Spurs. And I was correct. Yeah. It just turned out we didn't really go in the right direction with that prediction. Yeah.
So we're kind of just jumping right into it here, but I want to do two things on this pod. Okay. Actually three things. The first is
how much time do we have?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we'll see how this goes. The first is I want to talk about general kind of chip strategy, which we're already doing a little bit. The second one is I want to talk about wild card players that I would target, right? Like, I think a lot of people are ultimately, and I guess maybe I'm putting the cart before the horse here, but I think a lot of people are ultimately going to end up wild carding in the lead up to 34, right? If not this week, the next week or very soon. Mm-hmm. And so I want to talk about the players that I would be targeting if I wildcarded. And spoiler alert, there's a very good chance I do that over the next couple of weeks. Yeah. So I want to talk about that. So chips, wildcard strategy. And then I don't want to make the mistake of ignoring the game week in front of us, which is sometimes what happens when you have a big double that's announced. So once we sort of talk through things a little bit, we're going to talk about game week 30. And look ahead to transfers and fixtures and captains, because it's actually quite a tricky week for the captaincy, I think, right? I mean, especially if you don't wildcard, right? If you wildcard and you bring in Salah, sure, probably the easy captain pick there. But if you don't, then I think you have a lot of options, right? Cole Palmer at home to Burnley. You have Son at home to Luton Town, right? Like just to name a couple. Or you could just go with Haaland, right? I mean, a player who is kind of always a good pick.
All the good guys are playing at home except for Arsenal, who are away at the Etihad.
Yeah.
Watkins, Solanke even. I think it's a great differential week if you want to try to use the armband to get ahead.
I think so too, because and Arsenal are arguably the best defense in the league, right? And so that obviously diminishes Haaland's appeal a little bit as well, right? So, so that's kind of the game plan for this pod. So, my thinking right now is two things. One is I think I'm probably going to go ahead and wildcard. Most likely, I think, in game week 31 instead of game week 30. I think I'm in a wild card now is because I just think it makes more sense to bench boost in game week 34. I just feel like it's just a lot easier to fill up your squad with players that might return for you in 34 than it is in 37. I also am a little scared of game week 37 doubles in general. I think that they can be kind of trappy sometimes, right? Game week 37 doubles.
We're not talking about the house music here.
We're not talking about house, but like, I think, Man City almost certainly going to be in the title race. still. I mean, maybe by 37, it's decided, in one in their favor or someone else's favor. But most likely, I would expect at least two of the three teams that are competing to still be there, right, coming down the stretch. So they'll have something to play for. But Brighton, Man United, Newcastle, like, I'm just not certain we're going to have – a squad full of people that we feel really like good about. Right. So that is sort of leaning me towards wild card and early for game week 34. I honestly think it's really tricky though. And I think part of the problem, and there's actually an argument, I think for free hitting in 34, if you still had it, is, Chelsea in particular have a really nice run of fixtures in the next handful of weeks, right? But they don't double in 34. And even Spurs play play Luton and Forest at home in two of the next 3 weeks, right? But it's very hard to have a strategy where you bring in Salah and keep Haaland and somehow keep Son in that squad as well, right? It's like you were talking before. It's like ideally you'd wait to see who to drop between like Foden and Son and all those players. So I do think it's really tricky. I think for me,
does Cole Palmer survive a wild card in game week 30, 31?
Yeah. I think he does. Yep. And I think the reason that he does is actually with an eye towards Chelsea's doubles ahead. Yes. Right. I think that would be the reason to do it because, and Haaland probably survives too for kind of similar reasons. Right. Yep. So you have Haaland, you have Haaland and Palmer. That's probably the only two. And then the question would be whether it's worth having three. Like maybe you could make an argument. The part of the problem is that if you're bench boosting in 34, Chelsea play away to Arsenal, which is, so it kind of it turns someone like Malo Gusto into a kind of less than ideal option, right, for a bench boost. Yeah. And like he'd be your weakest link almost certainly, right, on a 34 bench boost. So maybe if it's like Sun, I think Sun is a really tricky one. Spurs
blanking in game week 34 kind of resolves the Salah issue in a way,
where Son
just becomes Salah on a wild card or a free transfer if you can do it. And I think that's worth looking at. So I feel like that starts to make things a little easier as you size up 34.
Yeah. I think it's really, I don't know. I mean, could you make an argument that it's just so hard to get a team for 37 that works that like you really should just hold your wild. Like the problem is, right, it's just really hard to target 34. Right. Yeah. And I know no one's like taking notes as we say this out loud here, but just so Liverpool, Arsenal, Bournemouth, Palace, Wolves, Everton, Sheffield are the teams that double in 34. And we also strongly suspect 99% likelihood that Chelsea, Spurs, Man City, Brighton, Man United, and Newcastle will double in 37, right? No overlap between any of those teams. Yeah. And as you noted, Spurs don't play in 34. And we also are going to get doubles from Chelsea and Spurs, most likely in game week 36, 70% likelihood. So that really does mean you either pick one or the other. And so maybe, and again, like, I I'm sorry if this seems like we're not like coming in super definitively, but I think like this is part of this, part of what makes this fun. And I guess I do feel kind of especially engaged right now is that it's fun to think about this stuff. Like it is not written stone that there's like a very clear way that you should be playing these. Right. So I think you could make an argument though, that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 transfers, right? A five transfer windows plus any possible hits, and just target 34, possibly without bench boosting, right? Would be the way to go, and then wild card in 35 or 36, and then with a mind towards bench boosting in 37. There is like an argument for that, I think, right? Yes. And it basically comes down to the depth of the teams that double. Right. In those fixtures. And also if you double in 35 and 36, it's a lot easier to have four or five players from Chelsea and Spurs, which you really can't do.
Right. Because of the Spurs blank in 34, it becomes scary to drop Son for that week, knowing almost certainly need to have him back for 35 or potentially 36, whenever that's the first Spurs double happens. So the wild card after 34 just leaves you of that responsibility, and you don't have to plan for that. So a free, sort of free transferring son out ahead of 34. And I mean, I think that's kind of like what I'm trying to solve is son out, Salah in, done. And then I'll just kind of like build a 34 squad organically through hits and free transfers. Then wild card in 35 to just blow it out for the home stretch, load up on Spurs and Chelsea, et cetera.
Wow. So we might have both just talked ourselves into a 35 or 36 wild card.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, my first impulse is your first impulse, though, we should say, is the wild card in 31. You know, the first game week after an international break is just always kind of a mess, and it's harder to predict. I don't really have an appetite to wild card right now heading into game week 30. So let's get our legs back, check it out, wild card into 31, get myself set. That's like where I am at right now. But yes, we have just built a very good case for wild card 35.
So who are the best teams that don't double in 34? You have Man City. They play away to Brighton. So I think even if I were going all in on the doubles, I think I would most likely still have Holland.
United have the Plum fixture hosting Sheffield United. So this is, you know, I'm not looking for opportunities to bring Manchester United players in, but that could be it.
Yep. I just think it's tricky because, that is true, honestly. I mean, it's not a
They've
great
got Burnley right after Chelsea that also at home, followed by the double, which is two. It's like this Manchester United run starting in 34. Home Sheffield United, home Burnley, away Crystal Palace, and then a double with two home fixtures. Granted, they're not the best fixtures with Arsenal and Newcastle, but there you have it. It's almost like Manchester United are going to be talked about a lot, I think, down the home stretch.
Yeah, which we have barely done so far.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to it. I mean,
not since game week 8 or something like that. I think there's, you know, I think you can go either way. I think the real question is whether you're sort of okay not going all in on the double in 37, right? Because if you go for the double in 34 and you don't have a free hit, right, which is the case for not everybody listening, but it's the case for me and you. And so I guess that's kind of on our mind primarily. Yeah. I think if you have the free hit, it just makes sense to just go ahead I think the bench boost, I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe it's just sort of, again, it depends a little bit on, I just like, you got to look at like the quality of the doubles. Yeah. It's like a lot to consider. I mean, the problem is once you get past Liverpool, Arsenal, and arguably Bournemouth, it's not a great, I guess, Wolves are home twice,
they can score.
That's appealing. You know? They can score for sure. I think that for me personally, I have two Arsenal players and I have one Bournemouth player, right? So I have a total of three players across the seven squads that double. I mean, effectively it's six, right? Because I'm not going to be worrying about Sheffield, but they do double in 34 as well, right? So I have five transfers without hits, right? So, and that's assuming no injuries. So that means I could get to 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Let's say that I keep Holland, right? Yep. Then that gets me to 9. And so then I'm maybe looking at like maybe one hit for 34. Yeah. Something like that. And so that would get me to like 10, effectively 9 plus Holland and plus one other singler. So I think it could work. I don't know. Yeah, I just think it's really tricky. I hate having no Liverpool players is really part of the problem. And the appeal of wildcarding right now is that you could immediately get three, right? Jump right from 0 to 3, whether you do it in 30 or 31.
Yeah. I agree with you. Liverpool really is the thing. And would I be that excited to, the main reason to wildcard after the 34 double is so you could triple on Chelsea and Spurs, who are two kind of schizophrenic teams at the moment, where Liverpool is very bankable. that team.
That's true. Yeah. Why am I so excited to double up on Chelsea and Spurs? Yeah. And I just tripled up on Spurs for a total of 5 points.
Yeah.
Like a seven because I capped into.
Right. But okay. So here's the case for bench boost. Another way to look at the bench boost in 34 is we mentioned keeping Cole Palmer, keeping Haaland. You're going to end up, if everybody else apart from these guys are doublers in your team, you're bench boosting to get single games from some of the best assets in the fantasy game, being Palmer and Haaland. So I think a bench boost by that logic feels great. You're either bench boosting some marginal doubler guys from Wolves, good, or yep, you're yep. effectively bench boosting to get Haaland and Cole Palmer into the mix, which right. is honestly good defensively right. because they're high ownership. Right. Yep. So the bench boost in 34, I think, is less a just lay out 15 doublers. It's more, I don't know, just
it's a mix of double the players that play twice at, blended with good quality players you'd want to start regardless of fixture.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit more about just kind of general thoughts here, like depending on what you still have, you know, available to you. So I think, you know, if you're just like. Very clean and simple. If you have a bench boost left, 34 or 37. Those are the 2 weeks that you want to target. As far as wild card goes, if you still have that, then wild card between 30 and 33, in which case you bench boost in 34, most likely. Yeah, that's an interesting. Like, is there a way to wild card and then bench? I don't.
Wild card in 34. So
no. Okay. Oh well, I guess you could do that. But I was thinking, could you wild card early? And target 34, but actually still bench boost in 37. Like, I don't, that is an interesting
okay.
thought.
All right. We're covering every possible tactic here.
Exactly.
Like it.
That is so, yeah. So, I guess there might be a way to do that. Basically, like, you're basically wild carding so that you have Salah, right? Yep. That feels like yep. the most important yep. part of yep. it. And yep. then, otherwise, you sort of maybe want the bench depth. I mean, we're going to talk about players to target, on a wild cover 34, or like at a wild cover 34 in mind. But there are certain spots, like with goalkeepers, where you're like, well, maybe I prefer to have, I don't even really know. I mean, Onana, can we go back there again, Brandon? Do we want to go back there?
Onana's interesting. There was a chart that popped up in my Twitter feed of goalkeepers in the Premier League who have prevented the most XG. Basically, who are the best defensive goalkeepers in terms of shot stopping in the league? And Onana was top of that chart. So Onana's having a very strange season. He's had so many comic moments. But he is stopping some really high XG chances. As far as just like putting our fantasy glasses on, I still kind of like him. I still like him.
Yeah. I can't, this whole squad, it's hard for me to like tabula rasa them. Sure. Right.
I agree.
Like I'm not even sure we should given that their poor, you know, returns, have capsized both of our fantasy seasons in the first 10 weeks or so. Mm-hmm. Anyway, sorry. So you most likely, if you're going to wild card the next handful of weeks, you're going to bench boost in 34. If you know, or at least even if you don't bench boost, just sort of wild card with 34 in mind, or you wait until 34 is over, in which case you wild card in 35 or 36, and then you get ready for 37. Again, I do think that the game week 37 double is a tricky one, and because as a reminder, it is literally the last week of the season. Right. It is, you know, you're heading into game week 38, right? The final game week of the season, that's Sunday, right? So these matches tend to be either gigantically important, right? Or utterly meaningless. Yeah. And the utterly meaningless ones are pretty scary, right? Because teams can just be completely checked out sometimes, which can work in your favor occasionally.
Yeah. Harry Kane on the last day last season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. For some reason, in my head, I think of 38 as being a typically high scoring game week and 37 being a frustrating double game week, but maybe I don't know if that's backed up by results or not. So, all right. So, but let's say that you're going to wild card in the next couple of weeks and you're going to look ahead to game weeks, with an eye towards game week 34, where again, Liverpool and Arsenal, two of the best three teams in the league, are playing twice, right? It is a good spot to have six players from those two squats. The Liverpool is honestly in a slightly tricky spot right now, I think, in terms of who you'd want to target outside of Salah. So let's just start. Goalkeepers, defenders, midfields, forwards. I'm going to give a few options kind of across the line here.
Hit me.
Goalkeepers, I think you've got a couple of different options. Now, David Raya, I think, is one cheap way to get a third Arsenal player into your squad. Jordan Pickford is, again, he's a little bit like in the Onana category where he's actually been quite good recently, but we all sort of think of him as like the guy who couldn't keep a clean sheet the first, 10 weeks of the season or so. And then you have Neto as well, who obviously has had kind of a tough run in the double game week, but still, I think generally is considered a quality keeper. And even their defense is considered to be a pretty high quality defense. Or at least it was maybe until a little bit of slippage of late. I think that
I would slip Jose Sa in there for Wolves. I think I may have misspoke. Maybe Sa actually was higher than Onana in that defensive goalkeeper rating chart. He's had one of those seasons and he's been not talked about at all. And I think Arsenal with Raya, maybe you want triple Arsenal elsewhere on the pitch. And just Sa gives you just a goalkeeper on a team where you're not going to be excited to triple up on them.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And I think, you kind of hit on one thing I was thinking about too, which is that the problem with Raya is that it means no Odegaard, I think, most importantly, right? Uh-huh. He's kind of the hardest one to have. Because almost everybody already has Saka. Almost everybody probably has at least one Arsenal defender, if not two, right? Yeah. So if you bring in Raya, it sort of closes the door on having a more attacking asset for the double.
And all the defenders on Arsenal, even Saliba and Kvyat, Ben White as well, just get picking up a lot of attacking returns. And Raya is kind of just like the lowest hanging fruit there.
I think the other player I'll just throw in there is Johnstone. And obviously no one's super ever super excited about having Palace players outside of maybe Eze. But they play home at twice in 34, and he's 4.4 million. And I think that as we start to wild card, start to put these teams together for 34, we're quickly going to just run out of money, right? This is just a classic problem during these when you wild card and you want to build that kind of optimal team. So he is a cheap asset. And I actually think just because goalkeepers are such a source of endless frustration for us, the fact that Jose Sa is 5 million, right? And that David Raya is also 5 million, if not even a little more than that. It's like, just get the 4.5 million guys, right? Yeah. Just get Johnstone at 4.4 million. And speaking of your boy, Anon is only 4.8, Brandon. So there you go.
I'll take it.
Pickford's at 4.6. Neto's actually up to 4.7. I think it's when you go bottom ahead of the double in 28. So, I honestly think Pickford, Johnstone, such a boring combination. But again, only cost you 9 million. Yeah. And they both play twice in 34. Everton also are home twice. I mean, the problem with Wolves and Everton is that they both had to play an Arsenal or Liverpool squad, right? That would be the appeal of Johnstone, is that Palace play West Ham and Newcastle. Yeah. So slightly better. I mean, Newcastle, who knows what they're going to look like by the time 34 rolls around. Who knows if Eddie Howe will still be there, Brandon, by the time 34 rolls around.
I think he survives till the summer, and then he goes in the summer.
And then Big Sam comes back, right?
Absolutely. Enough of this tiki-taka style.
Yeah, exactly. Back to base. Yep. Some like old long ball is back. All right. And then defenders, a little more straightforward. I group these into tiers, right? So you have the Arsenal and Liverpool defender tier. The Liverpool defender tier is a very tricky thing, right? Because you have Trent, who is an awesome player, an amazing fantasy asset, has been injured seemingly all of this season, right? Just a constant problem, expected back. He actually started more than I realized. I'm looking at his numbers right now, but he costs 8.5 million. He's really, really hard to bring into your squad, right? If you want to hold on to Haaland, for example. So I think a lot of us are going to end up with someone like Virgil van Dijk, just kind of because we can, it's a little easier to get there with him. I think Rabo would be the other one. But again, another player who I would worry a little bit about whether he starts twice in the double, right?
Rabo, yes, totally. Yeah, Klopp has been rotating quite a bit in the fullbacks, and he's got reliable backup with the youth players coming up. I mean, the defensive option we didn't mention in the goalkeeper section was Kelleher, and then it kind of it's awkward timing where Alisson is currently by Ben Dinnery projected to maybe be back from injury right between game week 33 and game week 34. So it's, it feels like an unnecessary sort of self-own to bring in Kelleher, and he just doesn't play a minute in the double in 34. But anyway, yeah. So I'm just kind of like adding fuel to this fire of the Liverpool defense. It's just total chaos. Yeah. So then you have to convince yourself that Van Dijk is worth the cost to bring him in.
Yeah. 6.5. I think he probably is, little bit of goal threat, probably the outside of a Liverpool defender, the best. It's just tricky. It is very tricky for sure. I think that one more thing on Robertson, because it's obviously tempting to try to like make an argument for him, but he has played in the last 7 matches for Liverpool, right? In those 7 matches, he has only started twice. Actually, I think he started 3 times and they got subbed off in the 59th minute in one of those starts. So 3 starts in 7, subbed off the 59th minute, 29 minutes in the Man City match, 22 in the Luton match, 32 in the Arsenal match, and 21 in the Chelsea match. So, even against top opposition, they're not rushing him back. They're still treating him very carefully. So I think there's just a little too much. Too much on the left back spot to even consider him. And, if Trent comes back soon, then he's obviously in the conversation, but I don't think we'll know until probably game week 33 or 34. Yeah. Right, like it may actually be 34 itself when we find out.
Yeah, and then the Robertson issue cuts the other way, where it does him being fit does make the Connor Bradley pick less appealing to me as well.
Yeah, and you just almost can't go Bradley, right? Because you just Trent isn't, unless Trent is just out. The real, and again, I don't wish this on him, but a setback for Trent would really be helpful here, Brandon.
Yeah.
fully healthy by August.
Sure. Yeah.
Completely healthy, right? Healthy as he's ever been. But if he couldn't play until then, that would be,
ready for the Euros. I mean, there could be an opening there if Kyle Walker pulled up with some hamstring issue against Brazil this weekend.
I know we had a question from somebody on the Discord from Leisure Rules about which injuries we had to be concerned about. And my initial thought was basically none of the international break injuries. Like, I don't think there's a single one that I trust, right? Yeah. Like we may find more out later, but it's it was all of them, right? Haaland and
Saka.
Cole Palmer and Saka. And the rundown, maybe Walker was a slightly riskier option, but it just seems in general.
Potentially, he didn't look like an excruciating pain coming off the pitch. It looked like that could be very preventative, but who knows? Who knows?
Yeah. So, So I think it's right. So let me get back to my
Liverpool.
Thoughts here,
we're talking about Liverpool fullbacks.
My extensive notes.
Yeah. Right. I was actually confusing Connor Bradley on the left or on the right. So maybe Connor Bradley is safer than I was letting on, but
he's not. No, he's
you
not.
Don't think so.
The only safe, literally, all 4 defender spots and goalkeeper are a doubt, except for Van Dijk, right? Even Konate is red flagged right now. They're sort of, so it's only Van Dijk. It's Van Dijk, like the cheese, but Van Dijk stands alone, Brandon. So that's where we are right now with Virgil. That you have kind of a middle tier, which I'm just putting Everton defenders into. And I think that, again, it's a little bit like the argument for Johnstone. They are so cheap, right? So even if you're not a believer in Everton, or you don't really want to be loaded up on Everton players, if you're bench boosting 34, you might as well stick one on your bench, because there's plenty of cheap options, and you know, most of them are capable of getting some kind of attack in return. Like I'd rather have an Everton defender than like a Burnley defender, for example, right? Like Bournemouth defender. Yeah.
I don't know. Bit of a coin toss there. Why? Tell me why.
I guess it's just I trust their defense a little bit more. I mean, someone like Mykolenko is 4.6 million, 2 goals, 1 assist, 7 clean sheets on the season. You know, even Tarkowski, like just like a super solid, reliable like center back. I don't know. I just maybe it's just them conceding a combined 5 goals to Luton and Sheffield in the last couple of weeks. It's really change my perspective a little bit here. Mm-hmm. They have not looked good, mm-hmm. right? Like, this is a total drive-by.
So punitive measures against Bournemouth more than a celebration of Everton.
Well, yes, that is true. But I mean, if you're on a wild card, you may have to decide whether to keep your Bournemouth players or bring in an Everton player. And I'm just saying, I personally just partially because of Deitch's style, partially because I think there's a little more attacking potential from them. I mean, Zabarnia getting a goal is incredible, but like that's just a total fluke, right?
So Nessie will be really fit again, most likely by 34. I think he'll be a popular Bournemouth pick.
That's true.
And he's got incredible attacking output.
That's true. Bournemouth do play away twice, whereas Everton are home twice too. That's maybe the more kind of like cold and rational, angle as well.
I get that.
And then we get to our bottom tier where your beloved Bournemouth defenders can be found, Brandon.
Hey guys.
We have Wolves defenders who are somehow even more disappointing than Bournemouth defenders, right? It's remarkable. Yeah. I mean, I think, the eight Nori dream. I've lived it, Brandon. We've all lived it. It's a dangerous game. You know, he remarkably has double digit returns in 2 of his last 3 matches, but I still am terrified to have him in my squad.
Eight Nori is like a dream that you have a dream that, you know, maybe it's sort of like provocative in nature. And then you wake up and you're like, what I would give to be able to fall back asleep and get back right to where I was in that really fun dream. You can't do it. And that's like eight nerdy is that
once
dream.
Your brain, have you ever woken up from a dream and then fallen back into that dream? Have you ever actually had that happen before?
I don't think I ever have now.
I think it happened once and it was incredible. I think I might've been sick though. So maybe I might've been lucid dreaming or something, sure, but I remember it was like the whole night I was sort of drifting out of one dream. Uh-huh. It was really, I should have written it. You know what I need is a dream journal.
Yes, you do.
You've been telling me this for a long time and maybe now I'll finally,
I've been saying for a long time, Always Cheating would be made better if there was a dedicated section in every episode where we just talk about our dreams.
Like a little Freudian our Freudian corner. So you've got Kilman and I suppose Eight Nori is the kind of high upside, who knows what you're gonna get pick. It's just like they're just dangerous picks, right? Yeah. Because like the problem, it's like Kirkez, right? Who everybody, ourselves included, were like, you know, maybe Kirkez is the high upside, why don't you go for it kind of pick. He plays 45 minutes, stinks, gets subbed off, doesn't even play the next match, right? So it's this is how I feel about Eight Nori. You look at Eight Nori's starts over the course of the season, and it's a very inconsistent picture,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Picture. So, then the other defenders are Palace. And I know you had, you found joy, as they say, Brandon, with Palace defenders. I know you really enjoyed having Mark Gahey. Yeah. Well, thankfully he's got a knee injury with an unknown return date, so Gahey won't trouble you anymore this season.
I can't fall back asleep into that nightmare.
Yep.
No, Joachim Anderson was all over Kings of the Game Week on Always Cheating earlier this season.
That's true.
And that was the curse of the king. Heavy is the head that wears the crown because Anderson and that defense dropped off the map after we did that Kings
of the Game. His hair looks incredible on his profile picture on the fantasy site. It's like rarely do you see like that's like a studio level hair. Like it's incredible. he could do like a shampoo commercial. It's remarkable.
He was paying attention when they said this picture day is on this day, and Joachim was like, I'm putting that in the calendar.
I'm ready. Yeah. I know they do 2 picture days at my kid's school, and it's like it's one too many. Like the second one, no one does it. You know, you do the one in this fall, the spring picture day. It's like we gotta get out of here. You know, it's like the school year's gone on long enough. So I think, yeah, but I suppose Tyreek Mitchell has had some moments so far this season. I suppose Anderson would be the kind of safest pick, though. 2 goals, 2 assists, 6 clean sheets on the season. And again, they play home twice, so maybe slightly more. The idea of being doubled up, though, with Palace defenders, it feels like, honestly, it's arguably too many, but yeah. It's certainly most likely one too many. But they are cheap, so, you know, they have to be part of the conversation.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The midfield is a little easier, I think. You have a top tier. Salah, Saka, and Odegaard. And again, just a refresher, because we've been talking for so long here, Brandon, is these are players I would be targeting a wild card if I was looking towards game week 34. So the top tier, Salah and Saka, of course, right? Saka, not only does he double, but he's just been, you know, incredible form. Mm-hmm. Again, another one of these players that has a minor
illness, I think injury. It was. So
was it just illness? Okay,
I believe yeah. So. So that's just as very mild as so far as injury yeah. news goes.
Yeah, and then Odegaard, who didn't work out for me, but has worked out for others so far this season. I am going to tabula rasa him though, Brandon. Blank slate with me and Martin Odegaard. Okay. I'm willing to get hurt again sure. with Martin O.
Okay, the muscular injury says Dinery on Saka, but
okay.
Who knows? Yeah, I'm with you on Odegaard. I think that he's just a fun player to own, too, because he's so fun yep. to watch and so involved in the yep. attack. And Arsenal do a lot of attacking. And yep. whatever I can do, like Saka and Salah, you know, they can be very frustrating as good as they are when they're just like pinned to the touchline and they're just like yep. so wide. Odegaard, it is so fun to have a fantasy asset who is so central.
Yep.
And so I see a good opportunity there. Again, it goes back to who are you going to drop to have to pick up again? I think Foden and Son obviously loses out in 34. And I think Foden is just going to fall away over the next few weeks.
It's a shame because he's been great yep. too. And they play, you know, Man City play three home matches in the next four. Again, it would be an argument for waiting. To bring him in if you're going to until 34, right? And just stick with what you've got. I do think just increasingly I'm sort of the opinion that I want to wait until 31 before I kind of lock in. Mm-hmm. Whether I choose to wild card in 31 or whether I choose to wild card in 35, I don't think I'm going to do it this week. Man City, Arsenal, it's like, okay, I don't really want to be tripled up with, you know, it's like, it's already, it's a little messy. Yeah. And so I think, and we haven't even gotten to what I think is a really tricky question, which is Ollie Watkins. But just to finish the thought on midfielders a little bit. So you have the kind of top tier, Salah is an obvious one, Saka and Odegaard. Kind of a middle tier as well, where you have Diaz, who has been kind of the one consistent Liverpool option yep. Outside of Salah, when Salah's been available and healthy. And then I think Eze has to get thrown in there as well. Again, Palace have those two home matches in 34, and he's even cheaper than I realized. I didn't know that Eze was only 6 million. It's a great enabler price, right? If you're looking for like a fourth mid or something like that.
Yeah. What about Olise though? Michael Olise, who on his day is as good as Eze, and he's got to be cheaper than Eze even. And it looks like he's set to be back maybe this coming game week, coming back from, whatever
hamstring injury,
He had going on. Of course, like every time Olise recently has come back from injury, he immediately gets injured again. I wouldn't want to be bringing Olise in around game week 30, 31, just to hope that he stays fit.
It's crazy. To 34. Yeah, exactly. It's good to like introduce various options, because it's like when in 20 and 22, like kind of before he got injured again, he had a 15-point return and a 16-point return.
Yeah, incredible.
Right? So there is a lot of potential there, but yeah, just probably a little too risky. Certainly not a player I'd bring in if I was wildcarding in game week 30. And then the bottom tier is Sarabia, who is a 4.7 million midfielder for Wolves. A great fifth midfielder on a wild card, especially if you're looking at bench boosting in game week 34. There also are a ton of injuries for Wolves right now, so he's a fairly locked in player.
Yeah.
I think a pretty easy pick, honestly, if I were wild card right now and I was going, I almost certainly want to have three forwards, right? So I just want a cheap kind of fifth midfield option.
And I think I have this right, that when Hwang Hee-chan is not fit in the squad, Sarabia can take penalty duties. So there's a little bonus there.
Okay. Yeah. I can neither confirm nor deny, but that would make some sense.
Well, let's see. Let's go to our list of, you know, they've got the set piece takers. Penalty and set piece takers for Wolves. You've got Hwang, Mateus Cunha, and then Sarabia is third in the pecking order.
Okay, so there's a chance. Yep. We got a chance. and then the other midfielder I threw in there, if you just hate Sarabia, I don't know, maybe you don't like him, Brandon, mm-hmm. is Ryan Christie at 5 million for Bournemouth. I feel like I'm the only one who is, I'm like a fan club of one, but I have really enjoyed Ryan Christie's flight for Bournemouth. he's had some really nice performances.
Don't hide your lighter under a bushel, man. Let that shine.
I know. So I'm a Christie fan. I'm Team Christie. So he's another one to consider.
You're telling
me
Decore at Everton doesn't crack the low tier list, like Mr. Garbage Time goal. I mean, Mr. Yeah, I'm going to save Everton from relegation goal game week 38 last season.
He should probably be in the mid tier. He's at 5.5, although he's so streaky. Like he actually hasn't really, he hasn't had a return since game week 16.
Yeah.
You know what's biasing you is that you and I were in, we were at the Selhurst Park when he had that amazing performance against Everton.
When he's good, he's good. Assist.
Yeah, exactly. This is why the eye test can be so dangerous, Brandon, especially the in-person eye test is even more dangerous.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. All right. And then that brings you to forwards, a little more straightforward here. I think for 34, you have, Haaland, assuming you keep him, and then Solanke. And then I think Darwin would be the third forward that you'd want. And if you and I are kind of both the opinion that we hold Haaland, especially if you're wildcarding and you're going to need as many players from these doublers for 36, 37, it makes sense to hold him for that reason as well, along with the fact that he's just a perennially good option to have in fantasy, plays tons of minutes. And as you know, he's the primary goal scorer and arguably the best team in the Premier League. Right. So we like barely ever talk about him because he's such a fixture in fantasy. Right. But I think the question is, Ollie Watkins. And what we do with Watkins, because Watkins does turn into Darwin very easily. Watkins does not double in 34, does not double in 37. You are on record saying that you plan to own Watkins for the entire season and will not drop him. But I think your faith is going to be tested. And also, as amazing as he's been, he has blanked in the last two fixtures. Yeah. Now, again, doesn't hold a candle to his amazing performances this year. But he's not completely automatic. And the run of fixtures for Villa is not fantastic. It's okay. Yeah. Wolves at 30 is good. It's one of the reasons I want to hold my wild card, is to make sure I don't really want to drop Watkins before the Wolves match, right?
Yeah.
But then you have Man City away in 31, Arsenal away in 33. Brentford home in 32 is a good fixture, but certainly, two of the next four are the worst possible fixtures for Ollie Watkins. Yep. So I think that the argument for dropping him is a pretty good one. And I think the fact that in 31, when he plays away to Man City, is when Liverpool host Sheffield at home, it's going to be really hard to avoid a Watkins to Darwin transfer that week, even if you don't wildcard.
I'm with you. Yeah. I'm going to be a liar, and I hate liars, but mm-hmm. I will be dropping.
So does Henry Rollins.
Yes, exactly.
Or does he hate them? He is one.
He is
right?
one. But yeah, but you know,
does he hate himself?
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Was his tongue in his cheek when he was talking about himself being a liar? Have to watch the Behind the Music on VH1 to know more. But I'm with you. I think just the upside for Watkins is kind of in the rearview mirror. And if you just think, it's Darwin, Haaland, and then the wild card there gets to be, are you going to dip your toe in the Hoyland waters for Manchester United's double in 37? Who's the third striker for game week 34, though? If you say you've got Darwin and Haaland is unmovable.
Solanke,
right. Of course. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Just cause he's cheap I think he's the only, real option.
I don't even know. Dominic Calvert-Lewin, anybody? No, thank you.
I know. Poor Sheffield. Like it's just, there's just nothing to say there, yes. Right? There's just, you can't
McBurney. Any McBurney fans out there?
I like McBurney. You know, I'm a fan.
Shots. Yeah. Nothing against him. Yeah. Just plays for a crappy team. Unfortunately, we wish him the best.
All right. We do wish him the best, Brandon. And you know who I also wish the best too? I'm going to do a little pivot here. Okay.
Please.
Cause we've done, this is a lot of game week 34 talk, but there is a game week in front of us. Right. So, I hope we set the table for people a little bit, help them with their thinking. By the way, we had a Wolves fan who commented in the chat that said that Sarabi is the designated pen taker, as long as Huang is out. So, I think that we are,
No, I think that that's Chris, Chris in the chat. I think he's actually saying Cunha is the pen taker. So the issue,
Cunha,
the further
right.
issue there is Cunha is also out injured, but he in all likelihood could be back for game week 34. So we're just right. kind of in a
yeah. okay.
wait and
so
see
we're,
sort
yeah, we're
going to
just table. Forget everything I just said. Okay. I made things more complicated. And we talked a little bit about our strategy. I will either wild card in 31 or 35, and I plan to decide. Well, I mean, if it's 31, then I guess I've got another week to think about it. The real question is whether the Salah FOMO gets yep. the best of me, yep. right? And I just sort of I can't resist making the transfer. But I think it makes sense to wait a week, and I'll just I just have to think it through a little bit.
Yeah, I can even see if you're planning to wild card in 31, there is an easy enough case to say, well, then just wild card in 32 or 33 if. You know, depending on what happens, because now if we're looking right. at Son out as early as game week 31, it kind of takes care of a solid transfer almost for free without having
that's
to.
That's true.
Card.
If you have the money to do it, right. that's true. Although ideally, I would love to be tripled up on Sheffield for 31 or, you know, on Liverpool ahead yeah. of the Sheffield match for 31. But, and I have zero at the moment. Right. So that would be the appeal there.
I can hear all the Wednesday fans gritting their teeth right now.
I know. That's so true. If you haven't said
Sheffield like 20 times in this episode, I would let it go. But
no. You know, that's a correction that I'm okay with because I wouldn't say Manchester, right? That would be very confusing. Right. Now, granted, Sheffield Wednesday should have to come up to the Premier League before I get harangued about saying this
the
wrong way.
They're struggling
but I want to respect,
right now.
Yeah, but I want to respect the club system. Yeah, exactly. Shout out to Danny Bean, longtime friend and Patreon supporter. Speaking of Patreon, Brandon, I want to say thank you to our Patreon supporters. Okay. They really do support the podcast. The ad market for podcasting has dried up considerably, right? I'm not breaking any news there. Anybody who pays attention to what's happening in the ad space and anywhere else for that matter has an you know, interest rate. I know, Brandon, you're always going on about interest rates in this pod. Well, mm-hmm. it affects this very podcast that you're listening to.
I just learned this term, Finfluencer, a financial YouTuber or financial blogger is a Finfluencer. So that's what I'm really trying to get at here on this podcast.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Oh, FinTwit. Is that where that comes from? The financial Twitter. FinTwit. Mm-hmm. Oh, that makes sense. Okay. Well, anyway, so, you know, it's gotten trickier and trickier. And so the thing that keeps this podcast afloat is our Patreon supporters. And whether you want the extra podcast that we do each week, which we do, by the way, and it's always a fun and loose pod. We did one even last Thursday when we had literally nothing to talk about and we still banged out 40 minutes. Yeah. You know, so that's we do a bonus podcast. We have a Discord. People plan meetups all over the world. You've got your Toronto meetup coming
April 13th. April 13th. Yeah. If you're in the greater Toronto area and are interested in meeting up on the 13th, send me a DM or whatever through our various avenues and I'll get the details together and make sure you all know about it.
Yeah. And I think we might be at Smithfield Hall in a couple of weeks as well on a Sunday. So, or Saturday, Sunday, whatever it is. Saturday,
the 6th, I think it is.
Yeah. So lots of, you know, but meetups that happen all, you know, I'm not just exaggerating here, literally all over the world. They get planned on the Discord, as well as lots of private groups and all sorts of, and chat about food and politics and do we have a politics channel? I wouldn't dare dip my toe in there, Brandon. Too dangerous. But we might have one. I don't know.
We have a non-FPL topics channel.
So yeah, maybe there we go.
Put your opinions in there.
But there's all kinds of fun stuff depending on what your taste may be. Food and music and gambling and all kinds of stuff. So you can go to patreon.com/alwayscheating to support the pod. And if you don't want any of that stuff, if you just like the pod and you want to say thank you, you can also go to patreon.com always cheating to just say thank you with even the lowest pledge level is an amazing level of support. It really does add up. So but thank you to everyone who does support the podcast, Brandon. So let's close out the pod though by looking at game week 30. The one right in front of us. It is what I like to call, what do I like to call this kind of game week, Brandon?
This is a classic, an FPL classic. Hear the can of FPL being cracked in a refreshing way right now. Classic.
And I guess they have still not changed the clocks, which is wonderful. So that means that we get an 8:30 start, 11 o'clock matches. And then they have two bonus matches for us, Brandon, on Saturday, a 1:30 Prime Meridian and a 4 p.m. Okay. Sweet. So there's all sorts of matches that happen on Saturday. So a truly jam-packed day of footy, Brandon. And then Sunday, two great matches as well. You have, or at least one, you have Liverpool host Brighton, and then you have Man City hosting Arsenal. And Man City Arsenal is a tremendous match, an incredibly important match, possibly the most important match of the season. Despite, Liverpool Man City was also a terrific match, but I think, you know, every week that you inch closer to the end of the season, when these top three teams play each other, it just takes on even more resonance, right?
And well, so it was the draw between Liverpool and City that kind of put everything in Arsenal's hands. If they win this game, then they win out, which, you know, in all likelihood is not going to happen. But
we'll see.
But it is in their hands, which is great.
Mr. Destiny, Brandon. It's a great movie from the early 90s. It charts. It shows you what could happen with all these different paths. Uh-huh. You know, it's pretty sliding doors. You know, it was a real early.
Oh, I watched Gwyneth Paltrow on Hot Ones this week. She was pretty good. Talked a little too much about goop for my liking. But
sliding
doors did come up. Now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, listen, you just mentioned it here on this podcast. So I think whatever she did worked, right? It's like, so anyway, got a lot of matches on Saturday and Sunday. I am really excited about Saturday. I actually got to make sure I'm like clear out the schedule now because this is amazing. I just realized and Sunday's also Easter, Brandon. So what a great way to spend Easter with the Premier League. So the options right now, I'm going to... I will share my squad for game week for Game Week 30 with you, Brandon, please. And we can talk a little bit about whether a wild card makes sense or something else. I don't know. So right now, I'm kind of ignoring all of the flags, because again, I don't trust any of them. Yeah. I'll believe it when I see it. So the problem for me is that my defense is a problem. And I have, let's see, 1.3 million in the bank, which is not enough, I don't even think, to move. I'm just actually a little short to even move Ake to like Virgil van Dijk, right? And so I'm gonna kind of stooping on as well, right? Subban plays away to Liverpool. I want to do everything possible to avoid starting him. Very little chance. Well, actually, you know, Jamal Lascelles might actually start now, right?
Yeah, Botman is out for the season. He's out for like 6 months with his ACL surgery.
Yeah, so maybe I have stumbled into, although a double up with Newcastle, just what a terrifying thought. It's not been fun. But is this a squad where you look at it and think, Josh has to wild card as soon as possible? I look at the squad and think, basically fine, right? Turn Ake into a slightly more fun player, yeah. Right? Maybe if I decide that I'm going to, I actually just hold my transfer, which I think would be an acceptable idea here, and just start Ake and see if I get something from him. I'd probably move Gabriel over Estupinan. I'm actually going to do that right as we're talking here. He'll certainly start this match, I would think. Or I could move, if I decide that I'm going to wild card in the next couple of weeks, I would probably bring in Poro or Udogi. For Ake, right? Yeah. And target that Luton fixture. Or I could go a Stupinan to there's kind of no reason to hold on to Ake in that case, right? But maybe I would hold regardless, I could look at like a Malo Gusto would be another option, mm-hmm. I think, right? For the Burnley fixture. Now, if I decide that I want to keep my eye on game week 34, the question is there a player that I could bring in that would sort of begin that process of getting to 34 and still holding on to my wild card for the end run? And if I can't afford Virgil van Dijk, and I don't want an Arsenal player, right, because they play away to Man City, that leaves me looking at a Bournemouth defender, which would be hilarious.
It's time to get Mikolenko, like you've always wanted.
Yeah, yeah. Well, honestly, maybe, right? I mean, that would be an option. I think the options just aren't great, right? Like outside of Liverpool, it'd be Arsenal. I mean, I guess I could, you know, if I really decided I was just going to like throw my hat over the fence and just commit myself to not wildcarding in the lead up to 34, I could just take a -4 right now, right? And just kind of like start the process.
Yeah.
And just bring in Virgil van Dijk and then maybe get him by, I don't know, I guess I could downgrade Gordon to Sarabia, right? And just do that right now. So that would be one other option.
Gordon was an interesting watch in the England-Brazil match. He was probably like England's best player, honestly. Jude Bellingham didn't have a particular great match. I mean, England as a whole didn't play super well, but I was impressed with Gordon. He looked great. Ollie Watkins
held the
line pretty well too, but
certainly happy to keep him, but you know,
still, it's like playing at Wembley in a friendly is different than playing for an absolutely sputtering Newcastle. So I'm not trying to talk you out of selling Gordon.
So this is the squad for, maybe you could make an argument for Areola over Dubravka just because Dubravka's been kind of disappointing, and maybe West Ham are just as likely to keep a clean sheet, or maybe he's like, or maybe they're both going to score anyway. And so you might as well have Areola to differentiate from Lascelles a little bit. Maybe he gets more saves or something like that.
Yeah, but I think this way is higher risk, higher reward with the double. If Newcastle can somehow keep a clean sheet, that's incredible for you. The more conservative approach is just diversify the portfolio and start Areola.
Yeah, exactly. So that's where I'm looking. I mean, do you have any thoughts on this? Any concerns?
I agree with your assessment that this is not an emergency where you would need to wildcard. The team looks great. And I mean, it's like to the Triple City, I think, is the only issue one would have with this. But then you're like, well, I have triple of one of the best teams in the league. So sometimes it's just worth rolling the dice with them.
And I probably would move Ake to somebody else as well.
Yeah. So I'm kind of faced with the same dilemma. It's an interesting transition to my squad.
Share yours with me.
Because I'm sharing your woes with the defensive options, but I have more in the bank. I actually have, you can see, 2.1 million. So I can even turn Sven Botman into Virgil van Dijk, and that would work. And then I could bench Ake. I mean, Ake, I think, has to go, obviously, eventually anyway. But then it's sort of like weighing the pros and cons of just roll. Is it better to just roll the transfer and then have two to possibly avoid wildcarding next week? And to spend that extra money that I have in the bank on a defender when I've been talking this whole episode about trying to turn Heung-Min Son into Mo Salah, and I'm going to need every penny. So 2.1 plus, let's see, what's my sell-on value for Son right now? It's I'm on the wrong page. Doesn't matter, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. Yeah, you've led me down a...
You get what I'm saying. I don't... Chaos. Do I want to try to get instant gratification and spend all my savings on a defender like Van Dijk and forego that plan of trying to turn Son into Salah? That's what I'm afraid of. So that would be the argument for rolling or just turning Sven Botman into another 4.5 player into an Everton.
You and I are like the only two people who still have Ake. It's so hilarious in your team. And your defense feels like a problem.
Yeah, that's a major problem. Yeah, and Kabore can't really be relied upon for any returns either. Yeah. I mean, Pau Torres coming back and being fit, thank God, and I hope he stays that way, is a miracle for me at the moment. Yeah.
I think the people who had some Bournemouth defenders are really in a better spot right now, right? Because you could just start them for the Everton match and easily hold your transfer there. Yeah. I think, Botman, it's like you might as well move him. But again, it sort of goes back to what we were just talking about before, which is what's the move that makes the most sense? I mean, if there was a way to turn, if there was some cheapy, this is tricky. I you really can't go into 31 without Salah. I'm with you there, right? I think you can go into 31 without Darwin. That's fine. Darwin is chaotic, and he should never be that scary. But Salah for Sheffield is pretty scary. Like that's probably like triple captain in a single game week levels of scary, right?
Yes.
So I think that feels like the strategy either is you need to wild card into Salah or get there or figure that out. You know, someone was suggesting I move in the chat. I move Evan was suggesting that I move Salah or that I move Gordon, into Eze, which does make sense. But again, if I'm thinking about freeing up a little extra cash, then Gordon to Sarabia starts that process. And again, I really just have to decide almost this week, right? Even before 31, I've got to decide when I'm going to wildcard. And I don't know. I just think it's really tricky. I think that it feels to me like the logic for wildcarding late is really built around that double game week. And whether that feels like double game weeks can be super frustrating though, right? Like they, you know, and so it's like, does it make sense or should I just, I mean, because the argument for wildcarding like this week or next week would just be like, I'm in a wild card to bring in a bunch of Liverpool players and they're great, right? Uh-huh. they're an awesome team. And then I would have three of them and I have none right now. Right. And it's just like, you know, I can kind of do that and I could sort of maybe replace my keepers. And so that's kind of one point of view. The other point of view is like, okay, I'm going to drop all of my Man City players, right? I'm going to drop Foden, who's been great for me. I'm going to, you know, so it's sort of, I think it is, I don't know. Like, I don't think we should be on this pod necessarily suggesting a clear path, yeah. right? I think we can outline some options and people can figure it out for themselves, whatever yeah. makes the most sense. But I think for me, I see two paths that both of which make sense,
yeah.
right? And it feels like it's almost like a coin flip, which one is better. And I'm just going to decide in the next couple of days. But I think maybe holding my transfer is honestly the way to go because it just gives me maximum flexibility. I could still wildcard in 31 if I wanted to. But it also just gives me the option to really figure out what I want to do over the next handful of weeks.
I watch your strategy with great interest as a podcast partner. And if it would be interesting if you rolled and then wildcarded, because then that would be two free transfers that you have flushed down the toilet
alone
in the last couple of weeks. Because yeah. I think you had like two frees that you slept.
Yeah, thanks for bringing me up, for bringing that up. You know, ultimately I saved points.
Yeah,
on that,
no,
okay?
I'm not trying to criticize. Yeah, it worked out. I just think it's yeah. kind of interesting how it worked
yeah,
out like
it is.
That.
Yeah.
Makes you go, All right, now we, mm-hmm. I agree there's not necessarily a clear path that we have to recommend right now, but we must for the captaincy. Now you can see here on the screen right now that I've got Cole Palmer captained and Heungmin Son vice. I think a lot of people will be a little twitchy on Spurs after their performance against Fulham. That was a good time for the international break. So they can wipe that slate clean. Son, always good for fantasy points. Where are you at the Palmer versus yeah. Son debate?
I've got it on Son at the moment. Mm-hmm. Just I think... I don't know. Fulham have shut some teams down at home, mm-hmm. you know,
sure.
and so I think it was more of a Fulham issue than a Spurs issue. I don't know. Or a Fulham playing well sure. instead of Spurs just being bad. Although both can be true, obviously. But I think my inclination is to go with Son. He's just a we have almost a decade of or whatever it is, however many years have been in the Premier League. He's got a great long track record. And, you know, I expect him to be very good at home as well. So
yeah, and I think that's fair. It's fair if you just want to go even farther out with that lens is Spurs, even though they laid an egg at Craven Cottage, have just been remarkably more consistent than Chelsea
yeah.
this season. And yeah. to pin yeah. any hopes on Chelsea is like that's a much more fragile framework than saying, yeah. I'm just going to roll with Son. So I agree with you there.
If you had Salah, if you and I end up wildcarding this week and we get Salah, I mean, who knows? Like a bunch of injuries could pile up over the next couple of days and we're kind of forced into a move, right? Yeah. But if you had Salah, would he be an auto captain for game week 30?
That feels like a strong way of putting it. I mean, he is home and field. Brighton defense bad. I'm just kind of going through the list in my mind. But let's see. Salah currently team selected by 24.3%. Like what part of that ownership are dead teams? Salah right. doesn't feel like he's poised to bury you. I feel like active managers are still like us going to be looking more closely at Cole Palmer and Son. So that's like kind of a case I'm making for having Salah. Just having him and not captaining him is an advantage.
Yeah. I think I probably would for the same reason that I argued for Son yeah. a minute ago. He's like an even better version of that, right? Which is just like, it's a home match. He's super consistent, you know? Yeah. I think, but I don't know that he's worth blowing up your team to get, right? Yeah. Like he's not such a runaway captain like he will be next week that you have to, you know, tear up your squad to fit him in. I think that, I guess I would go Salah, Son, Palmer. That would be my top three. And I guess I'd make Haaland the fourth just because he's Haaland.
Haaland. We love you, Haaland. I hope he's listening this week.
I could see Saka doing something in that match, though. I would not be surprised if he got some kind of attack in return.
Just having pens is a great thing. I mean, that's for in regardless of fixture, that's yep. kind of what makes Cole Palmer so appealing. But then Son yeah. is on pens as well for Spurs. Like we're talking about all these pen takers, which is great. So I agree. Saka is still like a fun differential, though. To bet on that match feels wild to me in a fantasy way.
Yeah, I agree. It's a, like a, there's a lot of outcomes that are possible. 1-1 maybe feels like the most likely outcome, honestly. All right. Well, that is, I think we've covered a lot of ground on this pod, Brandon, a lot of ground. And let's wrap it up here.
Let's do it.
Once again, say thank you to everyone who supports the podcast on Patreon, or if they just give us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, Acast, wherever they listen to the podcast. Those reviews help us to help people to find the podcast and help us to continue growing and sustaining our audience. So thank you so much for everyone who does that. Brandon, do you want to thank our producer patrons?
Of course. Big thanks as always to producers Mike DiPietro, Trevor Ingerson, our buddy Chris Howell, Go Tennessee, Bobas Kuhn, James Holland, Dave Wagner-Lodahl, Go Celtics, Nick Wright, Lazaros Yanos, Greek FPL, let's go, baby. Jesse Halstead, Bruce Kerr, Aussie Rules. I'm skipping over a lot of people who hail from locations on planet Earth, so I can't do a shout out for everybody. Let's just steam through the rest of these names. All love and respect to them. Brian Shin, Blair Jacobson, Todd Byerly, Andy Portlock, at FPL Merch, Kerry Swanson, Jefferson Turner, Buffalo Wild Mings, Francis Moore, Sam Schauer, Caleb Robbie, Vulgar Paulson Kruger, Alex Holcomb, James Keatley, The Saint, Bob Fox, Craig Jackson, Shalin F. Kandakia, Terrence O'Donnell, Heath Cram, Thomas Tislav, Noah and Louise, Travis Grant, Linus Venerstrom, Dan Parsons, James C. Matthew Skinner, Fred Jacobson, Brennan, Daniel Hart, Lolly, Ben Coombs, Eric Kite, Gareth H., Rune Sandberg, and Brian Clark. As Josh said, rate, review. Thank you to everyone who joined us on the YouTube Live and for chatting. We've got Assist the Assist, Chris Woodstock, the Wolves fan, Brian S., Evan Chowdhury, and so many, and our good friend Dugal as well. Thank you all for stopping by. Go check out the video on our YouTube channel at Always Cheating. Cool, great pod. Look forward to chatting with you next, Josh, on our Patreon episode as we finalize our Game Week 30 plans. And I'll see you then.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, everybody. Bye.